Good evening. I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay. Could we all rise and follow Director Callahan in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so can I get roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record show, all members are present.
Thank you very much, Jessica. This is the time for public comment. If there's anybody that is on the line that would like to talk about anything that is not an agendized item, something in general with regards to the Town of Discovery Bay, this would be your time to take 3 minutes to have your time in front of the board. And so is there anybody on the line that would like to discuss anything other than agendized items?
There's no one on the line.
Oh, okay. Well, then I will close public comment. And we'll move to the consent calendar. Is there anything on the consent calendar that any of the members would like to discuss in detail and remove from that item? And if not, I would entertain a motion to accept.
I make a motion that we approve the consent calendar.
A second.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. Can I get a roll call?
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Gateau?
Aye.
Vice President Porter?
Aye.
President Griggs?
Aye. Great. No area agency reports tonight. By the way, I want to thank you for putting, instead of just having a line there like it used to be, that if there's nothing there, I know there's nothing here. I do believe that we have a gentleman from Veolia here tonight. Anthony, would you like to come up and give us your monthly report? Is that what this is, or just different? Yeah, okay. Welcome.
Good evening, board. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
I got a loud voice. Phase one, we start off with our safety. We ended January with 4,546 working days. A couple of our safety topics were HAZCOM training. We have to do that annually as an OSHA requirement, so that's a pretty big one. That also encompasses the entire water and wastewater plants, hazmat control, all of our chemicals on site, our capacities and things like that. And we also began the inspection of renewing our HAZCOM permit with the state. So far, just like last year, nothing has changed. We're good to go. So one more permit we've agreed by.
Does that permit mandate that you let them know what chemicals you have in the area and all that kind of stuff, so they know what's going on?
Every year we have to track what we have on site. Correct. Emergency preparedness and response. That's a big particular interest because, one, we just submitted our new drinking water emergency response plan to the state, so now that it has been approved, we had to train our staff on that. Also coming, we are getting things from Homeland Security, from EPA on this modern day stuff going on that we're not taking lightly. As a team and as Veolia, we're making sure that Discovery Bay is as safe as we can make it, and we're ready. So on the next page, all of our water wells are active and well 5 is still in emergency status. On the following page, our water production, we are still running both Willow and Newport water treatment plants. I'm real pleased to show y'all that if you look at the production numbers, we're really starting to balance out Willow and Newport's production numbers there for a while. And early last year, we really had a problem with Newport taking the reins. The problem with that is that was causing old water to harbor on the Willow side of the town, which caused water age, which caused iron and manganese, things like that. So seeing those numbers balanced out like that is really showing an even distribution across the town. So that's good for the customers.
So you say basically that the aquifer underneath is equalizing, or?
No, it's just that we're distributing equally across the of town. So Newport's on one side of town with a little bit of a different demand than Willow on the older side. And so when we start pushing too much from one side, Willow has a bigger capacity and the water's just sitting there getting old. So by the time that old water gets to the end of Willow's side of town, they're not getting quite the same quality. And you see that in either, not so much odor, it's still safe to drink, but you see it in color. You see it in things that aren't really there that Newport wouldn't see. So it just, it's an even representation. At the month, we are at 40 million gallons produced, and our sulfur content fluoride is 2,000 gallons, so pretty stable. Please forgive me, last month, the board did ask us to try to add some trending to be able to show you guys what do these numbers mean if you can't see what it was the month before or the year before, however it is. We began looking at trying to put not only just another number there to show you, but also a little graph to show you how the year's gone, how, you know, our peaks through the months. We began that, and then sadly I was out all last week, so I'm playing catch up, so we'll try to have that on next month.
Are you going to do a line graph? Is that what you're going
to
do?
I'm going to try to get something on here that's going to be something y'all can really see quick. And
there was a time when Bernie had a line graph in some of those reports.
And if that's what y'all would prefer is a line graph, that's fine.
What were you thinking?
We could do a line graph, and I was going to put some numbers as to, basically, you've seen how you see your electric bill, your water bill, you start seeing the actual monthly trend for throughout the year, and the, so like today.
I'll leave it in your hands, however you think it's best. Go ahead and do it. Go that way.
Okay. We can do that. On the next page, water quality compliance, we took all of the coliform samples as required. None were positive for coliform. We did have one water quality complaint that was on, I think it was Sandpoint, and we did flush a total of five hydrants, and at the same time we exercised five valves. The particular water quality complaint was a high pH. They thought they might have had a water main break or was getting surface water from the reservoir. So when we sampled, everything looked good on our end. We did double check the plants themselves, so we couldn't find evidence that proved we had a leak. So, on the next page for wastewater lift stations, all 15 lift stations are active, and no emergency outages or anything like that to report. And on the next page, our chemical, wastewater chemical flows, wastewater plant one has been bypassed, and we are still pumping through plant two. We're at 35 million gallons last month, and an influent flow average of about 1.2 million gallons a day. So we're still pretty low, and that's good. We got through all of the rain that we had a couple of months ago, and we got through that pretty well. The wastewater plant didn't see any upsets, so I was actually surprised, to be honest. The dredge system and the digest pond is still down. That's why we're not injecting any polymer for the solids. All of the solids, we're almost completely done with disposing all of the solids for the year. So we've got a couple more, probably about a couple more trips with the bins, and we'll be done.
What's the estimated time for getting the riffraff in there and getting that?
They begin working on cutting the keyway on the remaining part of the digest pond today. So we should be looking at probably next week. If they get the gravel in, they've already ordered it, we're waiting on it to come in. I think probably a week or two tops, I would imagine.
Yeah, they'll start filling that up again?
Yeah.
Well, you just pump that over from the
lagoon.
Right.
We will get to test that new dredge. That's where it's going. So.
And the new
dredge
is working great.
It is, as far as we can test. The only thing we haven't been able to test is its ability to pump all the way to the digest pond. But yes, right now that bad boy moves. It is much quicker than the old dredge, and I tell you what.
Well, it's got more power, so I'm assuming it's not going to be a problem.
We took a small block and we put a big block out there. I'm telling you, it's neat.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad it's much more efficient.
All right, on the next page, all of our wastewater compliance. Y'all are going to see one number.
The number. The number.
Tip those scales.
Yeah, so here's the good news. I didn't think we were going to have any good news. I've been pushing on the state because we've been talking about this long before we knew it was going to hit. I've been trying to persuade them what we want to do before it happens. We're going to hit this limit. And it is not one of those, the river, we're contaminating the river, it's salt. It's electric conductivity. We have little to absolutely no control over. We are doing extensive studies on trying to figure out where it's coming from and what we could do. But right now, it is what it is. It's the system. And the good news is, when I reached out to our state rep, he reads the permit language as far as it relates to conductivity as 12-month calendar year. It doesn't necessarily say that, but it just says 12 months. We consider it a rolling average just to be on the safe side. And he is considering it a 12-month, January to December. Based on that, we have not busted the limit.
Is it seasonal though? Because it's creeping up again. I mean, when I started here, I think we were at 2,100, then we raised it to 2,300, then we raised it to 2,400, and it just keeps creeping up.
Going into a whole bunch of information, we are still doing some testing, but we're finding evidence that it's coming from the groundwater.
Yeah, I don't think it's coming from the water softeners because that hasn't changed. That's diminished.
It's some, but not as much.
Because the new homes going in don't have salt water.
And you're correct. And that's why we started investigating as to why is it increasing. And we're starting to find that it's coming from the groundwater. We're just trying to pinpoint
it. I wonder if it has to do with the agriculture.
It can be. And that's what one of the...
And the types of crops that are being...
Yes, that is.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right.
So that number, as we show it, is 12-month rolling average from this month to the last month last year. The state sees it as calendar, so we are under that limit as far as we see it right now.
Have you got that in writing?
Well, I'm working on getting
that in writing,
yes. Because that was my question. That ain't the first.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, what happens when the next guy comes in and you're on vacation and then...
Your interpretation is completely different.
That's one thing about me, I get everything in writing.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm waiting on that.
So I have a question. Based on their interpretation, what is that conductivity number?
So based on our, if we do a calendar, not that I should have wrote the actual calendar on here, but by the time I got the word from you, this was already out in y'all's hands. We are at like where we have been, about 2320. So we're just bare. We're still right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to, no matter which way you look at it, it's going to bust it.
Yeah.
It just...
At some point, it's just not there yet. It's almost like a trend. It's like a little bit behind it.
History tells us it's nothing to freak out about because they've never been. It's not something that. It's not at the top of their list of you're in violation.
No.
In fact, it's not even on their list of you're in violation.
Exactly. So,
okay.
I worry about it because I hate violations. I don't care if they're free ones or not. I just hate them. I want us to be better than that. You know what I mean? And so that's just me. But yeah. Right. And on the last page, I do have some kudos I have to give to a particular staff member. Where it says SSOs, that is zero this month or last month. Because of one of y'all staff members' effort, and two of the town residents. Apparently somebody was walking their dog or jogging up the street and they caught one of the manholes overflowing. And they immediately called into the town office, or I believe, if it's all right, if I say your name in front of everybody, Miss Monica. Miss Monica called us directly, immediately, and we got out there, and literally it had just started backing up. And we pumped out two truckloads of back truck water that was literally pure storm drain water. So that means that they saw it when it happened. They called us, and y'all staff called us, and we got to it before it was a recordable SSO, which would have been a violation and a fine.
That's great.
That's what we do if we know about it.
Thank you, everybody, for your efforts.
I thank you all for that. I thank you for getting that information to us and for the residents to know how to call us. So if not, that could have been another several thousand dollars.
Well, first of all, great job, Monica. Thank you very much for being so proactive and responding so quickly. But my question to you is, what was coming out of the manhole?
So, sewer.
Okay. But it didn't make it to a storm drain, what you said. Okay.
Right. But the solids are at the bottom. So, had that in
Atlanta. So, you put wattles down and started pumping right away?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, we got that back here instead of having
when was that?
Time for. And that was actually like the day before last meeting. I didn't have time to tell you all that it just happened. But I appreciate that. Any questions? Yes, ma'am?
I have one, and if you cover this, I do apologize. Back to what you talked about with the well and with the old water. So you said that once the water has been sitting there for a while, the color may not be quite right. How?
You ever seen water in a 5-gallon bucket or in a horse trough or a dog bucket that just hadn't been disturbed in a couple of days or a week, get pretty stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
The top it goes to stinking.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing can happen inside the ground storage tanks. It just takes a little longer. So the chlorine in the tanks are doing their job, but if we don't move that water in and out of the system fast enough, it starts to break down. The chlorine can only do so much, so we've got to
mm-hmm.
If one of the plants is doing all of the work and the other plants mm-hmm. harboring it, then that's exactly what it's doing. So it just doesn't look as bad as the 5-gallon bucket, but essentially it's the same thing. So.
Now, is it anything that you ever have to tell our citizens about? Or
no.
Just...
They see it in looks. Iron mm-hmm. maggies, when you mm-hmm. wash your clothes. Mm-hmm. That's generally what they see. The chlorine and things like that still keep it safe, but it's just unpleasant. And mm-hmm. that's what they see. Luckily, it's not an unsafe thing. At the same time, that is a costly thing, but because we have one water plant doing more work than mm-hmm. the other plant, which means we're wearing those assets down a little bit faster mm-hmm. on one side than the other. So it's kind of a combination of a few things. So.
Anthony, remind me again how that distribution system works. How do we balance that? We don't have pipes going back and forth between the two plants.
It's a little bit of a struggle. We've finally found a fine tune now during peak season. That's almost impossible. When you're going to see those numbers, we just can't feed the other side as fast from low because Newport just takes so much more water than this side does. But we are looking at ways to fix that.
It's all connected. We just don't have any direct lines, correct? I mean, you can almost back it in.
Right. That's exactly what happens. It has to go all the way around.
It does back it in. Okay.
That's right.
All right.
But why is the consumption rate so much greater?
Newport, more uses. Just for some reason, mm-hmm. usage on in those HOAs from village 2, 3, 4 area, they just use more water. They really do. Because that's it. Yeah, Willow side they just don't seem to use that much. So, and it shows. Actually, if you look at the presentations through last month, and we're about to present the annual report that'll show all of that in detail, so you'll be able to see a little bit easier.
Which just indicates that we need well eight sooner than later.
Correct.
We're moving forward with that. All right. Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you.
Any
thank
other
you.
Questions? Great presentation. Thank you. Item one, I believe I will, Aaron will come up and talk to us about that. Is that correct?
Yep.
I don't think Gregory Harris is on the line, is he?
He's on
vacation,
so I just wanted to see if he was going to call in.
I didn't.
Aaron's prepared.
I didn't get a request for vacation from him. Go ahead.
Good evening. So I bring to the board possible action of moving forward with recoding 21 of our manholes. And the staff report says 29. We had 29 inspected, but 21 are the ones that need to be recoded. These 21 manholes, they are along the Cherry Hill side corner, the southeast corner of Discovery Bay. So it's that Cherry Hills that goes around the corner and follows back into plant one. There's also some manholes from our valve station on that corner that flows into plant one as well. And that has a force main from Newport. Cherry Hills has force mains coming in from Jay and Regatta. These manholes were repaired, I would say, 2011, 2013 from back when I can see. And what's eating these manholes is the H2S, which is the gas that's coming off the sewer. So you have forest mains coming from the lift stations that dump into Wayfair and Cherry Hills. And once it splashes into there, that distance allows for, there's no oxygen, so now you have almost a concentrated dose of H2S that eats the coating inside these manholes. During inspections, Veolia went out and inspected the manholes. They're just routinely noticed that some of the manholes in this row are in need of repair much sooner than we expected. So we had H&R Plumbing come out, give us a quote on rehabbing, which is taking the old coating off if there is any coating. I think on page bottom of page 4 of 7, you'll see the worst manhole there. What they gotta do is they gotta go and hydroblast the coating off, mortar line it, and then they put a new epoxy on top of that. And the nice thing about this service is you can do it with the manhole still running. You don't have to shut it down and pump around it. It saves there.
Does the coating then just go down to the trench? It doesn't go into the trench?
Correct. They're only gonna be coating the mortar lining that they put back on the concrete well itself.
I mean, that's some pretty nasty stuff, because I remember when they coated this back in whenever it was, 11 or 13 or whenever, when we did this before, that even the steps were like gone. Yeah. I mean, those rebar steps were eaten up.
Yeah. Some of those manholes, you can tell that it hasn't started decaying as bad as that one I told you on page 4. But once you start getting cracks in that coating, the gas is in between the cracks and start eating away with the mortar lining and the asphalt that's holding the structure together. So it's best to just do a large quantity of them to get more bang for your buck, because they will start degrading quickly.
So for clarification, sorry. Mm-hmm. You take the metal circle thing off, and then you're talking about inside the hole there needs to be relined with some type of epoxy.
Yeah, the manhole is, so you have the manhole lid, which is just a heavy steel cover, which weighs a ridiculous amount. And then below that you have a well, which is just a concrete with mortar and lining, and that goes all the way down. It's gravity, so as you go closer to the plant, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's what needs to be recoated, is that concrete.
And if we don't recoat it?
Then you'll need a new manhole. And now you've got
a very expensive,
do a serious shutdown.
You've got to do a concrete insert and all kinds of other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you, Aaron.
Yes.
When you look at the map on page 107, where is it along there that the force main stops and it becomes gravity feet? Is it way up at the end? Where does the force?
So if you look at that, I can't find the map, but if you look at Cherry Hills, the bottom part of that lake on the bottom left, where you can see the highlight mark right under there.
So really, once it gets past the steakhouse, it pretty much starts to go into, it goes into a joint trench, I think. Then aren't there two of them in there?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So is staff recommendation to go ahead and move forward with A, B, and C?
This was brought to us, and we reviewed the pricing, and we recommended, and we approved the recommendation by staff at the water wastewater level last 2 weeks ago.
And it was also included in the current rate study. So it's something that we talked about probably going to have to be included at, like an every, 5 to 8 year
with rate. This coating, they were expecting a longer lifespan back in 2011 and 13, but because of the H2S that's coming off with all the new expansion of the building, of the houses and everything, it's eating our manholes quicker, so it's really only lasting about 10 years.
Okay. So we're adjusting for that.
What we're doing moving forward.
Is there a way to add more oxygen to?
We're looking into other ways. Right now we're taking sampling of the H2S, the parts per million that we're getting off of it, and looking at ways that we can maybe do some injection at some of our lift stations to keep that down before it hits. But now you're introducing a chemical that could change our permits. And one of the chemicals we were looking at actually increased the conductivity We're still doing some research on trying to
do anything that doesn't increase the conductivity.
Something that can maybe decrease the conductivity.
All right, any other questions? I would look for a motion.
Public comment.
I'll make a motion to approve staff's recommendations to recoat the manholes.
Yes, that's great. And do I have a second?
I'll second.
Great. I would now take the time to ask if there's any public. If it's time for public comment, I'm going to ask for it, even though I don't believe we have any public on the line. Do we, Jessica?
There is no one on the line.
Okay. Then I will close public comment. Thank you for that reminder. And it's been moved to second. Any further discussion? Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Gatto?
Aye.
Vice President Porter?
Aye.
President Griggs?
Aye. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Item two, I'm going to invite Mike Davies up to give us a presentation, or at least a staff report on this item, please.
Good evening, Board. This matter, SMS texting, where we want to do a community alert system for matters that may affect certain geographical areas within our community, problems concerning water or wastewater, was originally brought up through the Internal Operations Committee. A presentation was done that this is possible through a third-party vendor, and we brought it to the board on October 20th, and the board directed staff to work with Director Callahan, who has some experience in this regard, to look at and explore vendors that might be the most suitable for the town of Discovery Bay. Director Callahan recommended to staff SlickText as a reputable company that could possibly serve the needs of Discovery Bay. Staff did conduct an investigation into SlickText, and SlickText does have a bucket of text available to the town for sending out to geographical areas, and we don't get charged for reply text, which is unusual, and text rollover with SlickText. You get a bucket of text. And if you don't use the full bucket, it rolls over for 90 days. The other companies that we investigated don't do this. And so SlickText, essentially what staff is recommending is that we move forward with SlickText as the company, at least the initial company, to establish an SMS community alert system based on geography. And we're looking at a price of $79 a month for 2,000 texts. And we need approval on that, and we can move forward.
One thing to add, I don't remember if we discussed it outside of the other committee, but they are also, aren't they also giving you some assistance in implementation at that?
Right, at this particular level of buckets, they will work to customize with us the system. And what's important about that, and part of the concern before the board originally, was being able to have the citizen input the information directly into the system. And some of the other companies, that was a little more difficult. We had to act as intermediary into getting that information in. And so SlickText will work with us to customize the system that what staff is considering is geographically separating people by the existing zones that we already have. So a citizen could look on a map, for instance, and say, oh, I live in zone 57, and then that would be the key word that they would use for categorizing them in zone 57.
Questions? Comments?
Nope.
It was a recommendation of the Internal Ops Committee that the board approve this.
For clarification, I'm not sure that I understand. Not that you didn't explain it very well. I'm just not tracking too well. So first of all, do we have a policy as to when we would use this text? What's the policy for the usage of it?
Well, there would be a policy.
So that's going to be established.
That should be established, correct. how staff sees it as a general concept, policy concept, would be that this would be used, because this would be funded by water and wastewater, so this would be used, for example, if there was a major outage that affected zone 57 or
that's
61,
fine.
We could send it.
So is it internal ops that's going to develop that policy? Is that how it's going to work? Or?
Well, the town would develop the policy,
and
I'm
and
sure
then internal ops,
it'll
be reviewed by internal ops before it comes to the board.
Yeah.
So that would be my one comment is, you know, we're looking forward to seeing the recommendation of staff as to when this would be implemented. And then secondly, if I understand this correctly, it's if they, how, they'll 90 days, they'll roll over for 90 days, is that what you said? So in essence, we could actually be booking 6,000 texts on a rolling basis to be used when that emergency occurs.
That is correct.
I did get it right. Okay, that sounds pretty cool. That's a great feature.
Yeah, it's good. And
that
it would,
90 days is huge.
Yeah, and it would be used.
That's half the town.
It would be used, as they said, for, you know, serious situations.
And if it
not,
rolls over
not
and
for
drops
events
off and we
or,
don't,
you know.
You know, I think the goal is not to have to use it, really,
that would
but
be
to
amazing.
Have it there.
But yeah, I think it's important, and I think it'll be important for our citizens to know that it is there in case it is.
This
needed.
Would also be an opt-in, opt-out scenario, so citizens would have to opt in to mm-hmm. be able to receive, you know, to be a part of a list to get the text messages, and then they can also opt out later. This wouldn't be something that we would automatically, we don't have everybody's mm-hmm. cell phone number. You have to opt in.
Well, let me just throw an interesting scenario. Let's say we have 45, or let's just say we have 3,000 people that decide they want to do this. We can have 3,000 on the list. We're not limited to 2,000 in our database that it would go to. We're only, what happens if we go over 2,000?
If we go over 2,000 with slick text, they would notify you. They would not send the message out. They would notify you, and you'd move up to the next plan that would capture enough of.
So it's not like the old. It's not like the old cell phone minutes where they nail you every time you go over.
Well, most companies do.
Okay.
So they would pay a per text charge for.
Right. All of a sudden, you're paying. Yeah.
Exactly.
Triple your fee because they're doing it per text instead of giving you the option.
To, and they want annual. Most of the other companies want annual contracts. Slick text. There's no annual contract.
So you can cancel it anytime.
Yeah, this is good.
Thanks, Mike.
Sure.
Appreciate your input on that.
I just have a couple questions.
Yeah.
So you said it's going to be broken down by geographic location zones. For. So we need to, I guess, understand how many residents or how many potential phone numbers are in each zone to make the correlation of whether the 2,000 is a good number or a bad number,
well,
potentially.
Yes. So staff, as a thumbnail, look to the amount of email blasts that people
right.
signed up for.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that many. So, and as Director President Graves said, we could have 20,000 people sign up, but there's not going to be 20,000 people in each
mm-hmm.
geographical area. And if we did, for some reason, had to make a, you know, there was an earthquake or something, we had to make a whole town notification of all that signed in all the geographic reasons, we just move up to the next bucket.
Right. So my next question, though, is, so at this point, though, we have zero phone numbers, or do we have
zero phone numbers, and we don't have a policy in place yet because we really have to understand what the customization
mm-hmm.
of the system's going to be with the town and what our true capabilities are, you know, when all is said and done, and then we can write the policy when we actually activate.
And you can't sign people up on their behalf.
No, it's an opt-in thing.
Any further questions? Is there a motion? Oh, is there a public comment?
So there are two people on the line. If you wish to speak, please raise your hand.
Thanks. This is looking for public comment with regards to the item that we are discussing, which is putting in and I'm going to call it an emergency text.
Community alert
text system for notifying the community for issues that of importance with regards to water and wastewater. Is there any comment on that presentation?
Yes, we have Karen Murphy on the line. Carrie, you've been Carrie, you've been unmuted. Please unmute yourself.
Hello, sir. Ma'am. Sir. Are you there? We'll wait. Is there an action that needs to be taken by them? Oh.
I got a green now. I got a green.
Hi. Terry, how are you?
Oh, hello. Good. So my question is whether or not we would get multiple alerts, because a lot of us have also signed up for the Contra Costa emergency alert system. Are we duplicating?
No, these would be Discovery Bay specific, and remember, we are your water and wastewater district, and so these would be items that would only affect Discovery Bay. You would still want to be involved in any sort of emergency response system you have through the county. That would be a countywide, and you might get something on that happened in Richmond, because that's Contra Costa County still. So this is just Discovery Bay specific, just by our community service district.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. Any other public comment or question? That was actually a question I asked.
There is no one else on the line.
Okay. I will close public comment. Is there a motion?
I would move to accept staff recommendation and proceed with the implementation of a community alert text system.
I'll second.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Graham?
Yeah. Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Coteau?
Aye.
Vice President Porter?
Aye.
President Graves?
Aye. Is there any sort of idea on time frame on this? Or just...
No, I have that answer.
Yes. The new assistant general manager will probably be involved.
Yeah, I was going to give this project to the new AGM.
Thanks for all your hard work on that.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
So that makes you the old?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just for clarification. Moving to item C, or not, I'm sorry, item three,
yes.
And this I'm going to turn over to staff.
Okay, so at the February 2nd Board of Directors meeting, President Graves asked us to add a future agenda item, and that item was to establish an ad hoc committee for the purpose of investigating the new district office building. Staff is requesting that the board establish the ad hoc committee and select two board members to sit on the ad hoc building committee. Before opening this item up for board discussion, I will ask legal counsel to explain the objective of an ad hoc committee.
Thank you, Tina. Good evening, board. So I'm gonna explain an ad hoc committee in by answering three questions. So the first question is, what is an ad hoc committee? Second question is, when can an ad hoc committee meet? And third question is, what rules apply to the ad hoc committee? So to answer the first question, what is an ad hoc committee? Ad hoc committees are advisory in nature, limited in time, and for a specific purpose. So in this context, we're talking about the specific purpose of doing the investigation of a new district office. For the town, as Dina explained, the ad hoc committee cannot be a quorum of the board, meaning as on a five-member board, we can only have up to two members. It can only also consist of members of the board. That doesn't mean you can't meet with the public, that just means the public can't have a place on this board. When can the ad hoc committee meet? Whenever it wants. An ad hoc committee is not subject to the Brown Act, so you don't have to notice your meetings, you can meet on your own schedule. And what rules apply to the ad hoc committee? Well, the ad hoc committee, it first of all establishes its purpose. So that's the guidance upon which you're going to providing advice back to the board when you do bring back findings to the board. Because you are a committee of the board, you are still subject to the board's rules. So those rules are the board policies that have been adopted, such as the bylaws, the board policy, and personnel policy. So for example, if the ad hoc committee wants to meet with town staff, that would be coordinated through the town's general manager, as established in the board's bylaws and the board's personnel manual. Other than that, the ad hoc committee is a very useful device that can gather information, bring a recommendation, kind of like the standing committees do, back to the board in an expedited manner for the board to consider the information without involving or taking up staff that's taking care of other things within the town. there's any questions I can answer.
Are there any questions for council? I'll just make the comment that since I was the one that asked that this be brought, my goal here is to start, is first of all to find out what our needs are. Before we know what kind of footprint we need for a building, we need to know what kind of spatial needs we're going to have moving forward. So I think moving forward with some sort of a spatial consultant that will say, okay, look at it in 10 years, this is what your staff's going to be, this is what your square footage needs to be. And then we could start to think about where we want to put this. I just want to move this forward. We've kind of kicked it down the road for a while. And so I would, the only, it's going to, I don't mean to sound tyrannical, but actually appointing of the committee is the responsibility of the president. But what I want to do is ask for anybody that feels they have experience in this, as well as feels that it's something that they want to do, to volunteer. I'm going to be on the committee, and but I need one other board member to join me in that. And I would ask for volunteers, and then we'll see how that goes, and move forward from there. Am I doing this properly, Council?
Yeah, so I was under the same impression about the board president creating the committee. The board president can put the committee selection on the board, on the agenda. The board would create the ad hoc committee.
So how does that happen?
By motion.
Okay, right. I mean, it's not autonomous. I don't just make the decision to have it. We have to vote. So first we vote to have the committee and then talk about who's going to be on it, or do we?
You can do it all in one motion.
Okay. I'm going to open this for discussion.
I think this is a good thing to bring, and I'm glad that you brought it to the agenda, because I think not only from a safety perspective we need to look at it, but I think it's holding us back in some other things when we're looking at various projects going in through Parks and Rec. Mm-hmm. Like, we just don't have a good understanding of what we're doing, and I think from a financial perspective, from what we're wanting to do for the town, and from a safety perspective, this is imperative for us to start working on.
Thank you. Other comments?
No, I agree with Director Porter. It's very timely, and if we're ever going to move the community center forward, we need to, and if this is going to be a partnership with the area, then we should look at that. But with that being said, I'd like to volunteer for that position if no other board members wants to be a part of it.
I'd be interested in it as well.
So this is where it gets a little bit fun for us, because we have to decide how we're going to move forward.
Yeah, cool.
Everybody else, am I have two volunteers?
Yeah, that's fine.
But we good with that? It's, mm-hmm. It's going to consume some time.
Yeah. I'm going to be gone a lot this year.
So.
I'm going to be taking a vacation.
What's that?
Interesting.
So we could do this, you could do it one of two ways. You could delegate the authority to the president to establish the committee, and then to go ahead and choose the committee. Or the board amongst itself can make a motion to have established the committee with the desired committee members, take a vote. If the vote passes, that's the committee. If the vote doesn't pass, then you continue to take votes.
This is where it puts me in an awkward position, because I have respect for both you two, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow the board to make a nomination, and we'll move forward from there. And that way, maybe I stay out of it a little bit. How's that? Does that sound fair? Yeah. Somebody, is there a nomination from the floor for? And you can nominate yourself, or if somebody else wants to nominate an individual, I'm going to open the floor. Am I okay with this?
You're correct.
Okay.
Can I ask one question before
Sure.
we start? So this is all coming from the state of California and the safety and protecting the water.
Federal, I think. There's some federal.
Is it federal or state? Or both?
Like we do have some guidance about with regards to security and
when was this is to be done?
Can I get some input from staff, please?
Yes. So this AWEA is what really promulgated this. And AWEA required us to do a security risk assessment that had to be submitted to the state, that we did the actual assessment. we're during this assessment, you're supposed to identify weak areas of security. And the fact that we allow the public absolute free access coming to the town offices through a water plant that's supposed to be a secure facility really emphasizes the fact that we need to relocate the town offices away from a protected facility so that the public has free access to conduct business with the town, and that's what promulgated all of this. And that is federal. There are no particular state laws, but
this comes from the anti-terrorism
situation. Security issues regardless of state or federal.
And is there a date that did they give us so many years to get this done, or?
No, there was a date specific on identifying the issues, and then we had to come up with, you know, a plan that was a risk assessment for our plants, and that there was a date on that. All that's an emergency response plan in regards to that. So, no, there is no specific date, but we need to be moving that forward because we are aware of the problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm total agreement.
And to clarify, we put cap cost money into the budget, knowing that
and you know, it's very difficult for me to say we've kicked it down the road because there's only one person here that's been long enough to kick the can. But I do want to say that we have kind of put this off because of the expense that's involved,
first of all.
And second of all, we were trying to make those, but let's face it, 10 years ago, those trailers were inefficient and the wrong thing for the office, and you're going to be falling through the floor pretty soon, and we keep rebuilding the air conditioners, and it's not warm enough, and it's not cold enough, and it's not efficient enough. So it's a matter of, it needs to be done. This is kind of the prodding that's going to get us there because it's now also a national, it's also a terrorist risk.
Right. Oh, no, I agree completely. I
would just like to add on the kicking the can down the road. This is going to take staff time. And as we all know, the staff's agenda for the last 2 years of programs have been extremely aggressive. So, and we've only had an assistant general manager in place for about a little over a year and a half. Well, I guess it's a little over a year and a half now. So it wasn't really kicking it down.
No, but it's not
going to happen.
But it's all a matter of its time. That's what I'm trying to say.
And what I wanted to say was, I agree with you. I think it's very smart to move the offices, but I think it's very important to let our townspeople know that this is you know what would be nice to have a really nice new office that is not.
That's going to happen.
I know, but I mean, we need to do everything we possibly can to keep that out there. You know, federal requirements. Yeah, federal requirement.
And we won't go backwards, we'll go forwards. And so. I would appreciate that, and we do need to be conscientious. We need to be frugal in our assessment, in our needs. We have to, but we don't know what we need until we get a committee to say these are what our needs are. Now let's go to the board and say, hey, board, I need X amount of dollars to hire a consultant to tell us what our footprint looks like, and then as we have talked with different committee members. You know, it's hard to even make a decision about what do we want to do for the youth in the community center if we don't know if part of the land's going to be used for a building. It may be here, it may not be here. It may be, we may buy more land. I don't know. These are the questions that need to be answered. So, anyway, I will take nominations for the open position because I am, I believe, take position.
Yeah, you can make a motion that you're the chair.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that I would chair this committee because of my extensive experience in specifically interior when I had my ceiling company, but construction over the last 30 years of my life. So is there a second to that motion?
I second.
Can I get a roll call vote?
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Coteau?
Aye.
Vice President Porter?
Aye.
President Graves?
thank you for your confidence, board. I appreciate that. Now I will take nominations for the open seat, since we can only have two there. So I will take nominations for that, keeping in mind that the way it works is if the nomination's made and it's seconded and it's voted on, that's it. Or if it's not, if it's voted down, then we move on to the second motion, just so everybody understands how it works.
Well, can I just make a comment real quick? I don't know if any other members are interested besides Director Porter and myself. If it's just the two of us, I think either one of us is more than qualified for that position. I'd be okay with just flipping a coin and seeing who gets it to make it as uncomfortable as possible for everybody.
Less uncomfortable.
Less uncomfortable, yeah. If that's acceptable, everybody, or if you want to do it a different way, that's okay too.
I don't have as a credit card. I don't have any coins.
Somebody's got a coin. Come on. I mean, what do you think? Can we do it that way?
Are you okay with that, Ashley?
Ashley, are you okay with that?
Because it involves you. Or would you rather have a nomination and a vote? I mean, I'm open to suggestions. Again, I would prefer not to make the selection. I would prefer the board to make the decision. So how do you want it? How do we want to move forward? Technically, what we should do is we should have a nomination from the floor and a second to that nomination and then a vote. If you agree to a different process, that's fine too. We can go with a different process. It's going to end up being the same thing. Whoever wins the flip is going to be the one that's going to be nominated and voted in. So however you guys want to do it, but I want to make sure you guys are both on the same page.
That's like putting me in a weird position.
I would suggest at this point that somebody nominate somebody from the floor and we see how that goes. Is there a nomination from the floor for the open position?
Both these people are just so talented, know so much. I'm not comfortable doing it, so go ahead, Michael.
I mean, I'm inclined only because I know of Brian's real estate background to nominate Brian for that second seat, not taking anything away from you. I think you're very qualified.
So there's a nomination. Is there a second to that nomination?
I'll second.
Okay. This motion has been made and seconded. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director
Gateau?
Aye.
Vice President Porter?
Aye.
President Griggs?
Aye. Unanimous. Thanks, Ashley. Okay, so Brian and I will move forward with that. The goal is by the end of the year to have a firm understanding of what we need and where we need it so that next year we can move forward with doing some very, that's really what my, because it's going to take that long to work through the process. It's not going to be, as Assistant General Manager Davey said, it's not going to be a quick process. It's going to take time. It's going to take staff time. It's going to take, we're going to have to spend a little money, get some ideas, get some professionals to say this is what you're going to need. We have to think about the Chicchini property and how our staff is going to increase with these things that are going to occur and what our needs are into the future, not just that we have eight office staff at this current time or something like that or whatever.
No, it's like 18, 20.
In the office?
Or no, just that office? Oh, yeah, there's only about 6 or 7.
Yeah, but you know.
I thought you had the full staff, sorry.
No, just who they would be using the office. I mean, Aaron has his cubby hole.
Well. Just
no. Can you guys keep them out now? Anyway, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for working with me on this. I think it's going to be good for us to be able to accomplish during our term, and I'm looking forward to being able to bring back some information that we can then move forward with. Yes, Carol.
I have one thing to say. There's going to be an election in November. And I would hope that at least one, if not both of the people on this committee stay on the board, because it'd be horrible to get great momentum on this and then leave partway through.
Well, depending on how everything works out, that's why I've said by the end of the year I have a goal. And then I'm sure we can tag team into some great people that can carry it forward if things are different, but appreciate your enthusiasm, Carol. Thank you. Okay, so moving forward, are we done with that? Moving forward, is Rod talking here? I just noticed your butt. Manager report, dog park update, I believe is Bill. Bill?
So the drainage correction project is now complete. It's been open to the public since last Monday.
And the orange fence is down?
Orange fence is down.
And how's it look?
It's been reseeded, so it's a little bit, not muddy, but...
Are we trying to keep people off of it while they...
No.
Maybe we should keep the orange fence up.
I think it's going to take this spring with the season.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the cold weather we've been having, I mean, even things just aren't drying out. Grass is staying wet all the time.
Right.
It's happening at my place, too, so... I have to take my shoes off before I come inside. So.
But Bill, real quick, but obviously the test is going to be our first rain to see.
Well, we've tested it, and it works. And interestingly enough, there was an old drainage system where we put the new one that had corroded and deteriorated. So it's all
that was causing the problem. That was part of the problem.
Correct.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Bill. Appreciate getting that
thank
done.
You.
I'm sure our dog owners appreciate it also. So hopefully we'll hear good news about that.
Have we put that also on Instagram and
we did.
Facebook?
Yes.
Okay.
And I will call Monica up to give us a pool update. I think there's good news there, too.
There's excellent news there. So we've passed all of our county inspections. We passed our inspection for the tough shed. So all of that is good, perfect, no issues. We've got patio furniture in order and umbrellas and stuff for lifeguards, and we're blanketing hiring lifeguards and swim instructors. I don't know if you've been out there, but
that's
we
really
started
good.
The turf project. And so all the prep work is done. It looks fantastic. And then the synthetic turf will go in the week of March 7th. That'll take just a couple of weeks, and then we'll have a beautiful...
When's the tiki bar going up? what's the goal for...
Memorial weekend.
Is that pretty typical?
That's our standard, Memorial to Labor Day. Yeah, so we need lifeguards.
How are we doing on recruiting for lifeguards?
Well, we've made every effort that we could possibly think of. I can share that with you if you'd like, and if you have any suggestions.
Oh, no. Have we gotten any response?
One.
What's our goal?
Again. For lifeguards and swim instructors, 10 to 12. Yeah.
First one's the hardest.
Callahan, with all your connections down at Liberty High School.
Those are me. Actually, I hired the coach. We hired the swim coach to be our pool supervisor. And so high school swim started February 7th, I think it was. So she is going to blast out our flyer to everybody if she hasn't already and pass them out at swim practice. It's on the Byron Union School District's website. It's on ours. It's on Facebook, Instagram, flyers around here. Callahan's Coffee and Cones put it on their window for us. What else did we do?
Well, it's going to be a bit of a challenge. It was always a challenge. It's going to be even more
always.
Of a challenge, the fact that it's been a couple of years, 3 years. Yeah. But I do, even though it was a previous board that actually got the pool going, I just want to say that I think we should be proud of ourselves for accomplishing
fabulous.
This, getting it done, and getting this thing open back up. Monica, your hard work is very much appreciated. Your coordination, not only with the contractor or the county, other contractors, all that, thank you very much for that. It's going to be, I hope the community appreciates it. I know the community will appreciate it. We just need to move forward in a very positive way on something that wasn't always very positive. And I think that we just need to keep that in mind.
Yeah, it is exciting. And it looks
very
so good out there.
Right.
It looks really good.
Not to be pessimistic. So obviously, if we don't get enough interest in being an instructor or a lifeguard, is there a plan B or what's?
Yeah, it's my understanding that government agency that you have to have lifeguards. But we could certainly, which we want to do, is the minute we're done and ready, we can start adult lap swimming.
Which does not require a lifeguard?
That does not, because we can't charge, and you have to be 18 and older and sign a waiver. And we've offered that before.
The other thing I might suggest to you is to contact Los Medanos College.
Okay.
Community College in Pittsburgh, and see what their swim team's like, and college students looking for a little extra money.
Yeah,
might be a good idea. That just popped into my head. I have to go see them about some veteran stuff, okay. So it was on my mind. So
and we've got it at all three high schools.
But you might want to hit Los Medanos College up in Pittsburgh, right there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea. I will do that. And if anybody thinks of anything else, please shoot me.
I've got a couple of thoughts for you. I'll tell you after the meeting.
You know, I've had my kids blasted out on their Instagram. I mean, their web is amazing. So if you don't mind, maybe some of your kids can blast that out as well and just get it infiltrated.
My kids have already done it.
Yeah, mine
too. Recruiting their friends. So.
Thank you very much, Monica.
Yeah, you're
thank
you're,
you.
You're appreciated. Thank you. General manager's report.
None tonight, thank you.
Director's reports. There haven't been any meetings since the last meeting. Regional meeting reports, written reports have been turned in. Correspondence received. Nothing to, any future agenda items anybody wants to bring up at this point? Okay. Do we have a closed session? No. Okay.
Before you go, I apologize. I know I said that last item was over. We need to do it by resolution in accordance with the board's policy.
Oh, that's right.
Because we have to establish the limited purpose. So if somebody would like to make the motion that the ad hoc committee for the limited purpose of investigating the new office, and as stated in the staff's report, and with the members being Chair Graves and Director Goutel. We'll work with staff to go ahead and establish and draft a resolution in sequential order that can be signed at a later time.
I would make the motion that an ad hoc committee be established by resolution for the sole purpose of evaluating the needs, location, and needs and location of new offices based on requirements that are brought to us by the government. Is that okay?
Yeah, with the members of yourself and director.
With members being myself and Director Goutel. That would be my motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Can I get a roll call vote?
Director Graham?
Aye.
Are we okay?
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Goutel?
Aye.
Vice President Porter?
Aye.
President Graves?
Aye. Okay, I think, anything else, Council? Do you have any statements you want to say
no,
anything?
Sir. No,
take
sir.
Take any more time? Meeting adjourned. Thank you.